Heavenly Father, we come before you. Jesus, we're thankful for what you've already done, and we are looking forward to what you're going to continue to do in your house this evening. Open our hearts, open our lives, Jesus. You are the boss. You're in charge, Lord God. We surrender our time and our hearts over to you, Lord God, that you would have your way in our lives. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So this is what we're going to do. I want to share with you and speak to you out of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, if you would go with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 13. Let me catch you up. Here the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. And he's talking in this specific section, he's talking how there is no confidence in the flesh. That there's, in other words, there's nothing that we can do of our works, of our behaviors, of what we don't do, that we can gain confidence in Jesus. In other words, we can't look at the things that we're doing or not doing and say, yeah, I'm worthy. Yeah, I got it together. Yeah, I must be doing all right because look what I've done. Look at all the church services I have attended. Look at the memory verses that I've done. And man, I finished my SPT. Awesome. Hey, those are all great things. But let's not find confidence in our walk with Jesus in those things. Because it's not like Jesus saved you once you did that. So that's not what's going to keep you in his love. Amen. Did you have to do that to get saved? Did you have to do that to be loved? No, so those things aren't going to save you more or get you more love. God's already loved you. He loves you now more than he'll ever love you. Is that all right? So you're not earning more love on the love meter. He's already died. He's already blood washed you. He's bought you with the blood that he shed on the cross. You, man, are loved. You're like love, like we say, right? And that is not changing. So I'm excited about that. But I want to share, here we go in Philippians 3. He's telling that we got to leave the past behind. And in verse 13, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, speaking of the salvation. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We're going to focus on that part here. It should be highlighted. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is in the future. Straining towards what is ahead. That word straining there kind of speaks to, there's the metaphor of an athlete, right? And if you look at a sprint, there's the dead sprint, and the sprinters at the end are kind of running like this. Unless, you know, in the last Olympics, Sha'Carri Richardson was so far ahead that she had time to turn back. And it was a big deal because every sprinter knows, like, you are, like, gasping as you're crossing the finish line. Because it could be a photo finish. You're straining towards the finish line. You're moving forward. You don't have time to look back. You don't have time to worry about the past. You don't have time to think about the mistakes that you've made. And here's the Apostle Paul talking about, I have to forget these things. Now, there's a couple of different things that the commentators think he might be talking about here because it's not exactly made clear. One of them is he's forgetting his mistakes that he made against the church. He persecuted the church before his name was Paul. His name was Saul. You can read about that for yourselves in the book of Acts. So was it about the past mistakes? Or he's also, they're thinking he might be talking about, he had this list of credentials that qualified him as a religious leader, right? He had been trained at all the right places. He came from the right family. All these things kind of could have led to his boasting. But either way, he's saying, I forget about those things and I move forward towards the prize. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the topic of God's permission to live. God's permission to live. Now, you might be thinking, like, I need permission to live? And I understand the challenge that we think with this. I remember I served in youth, and as a youth in the youth ministry and in the kids' ministry as well, you know, the kids are there. And as adult volunteers, we're kind of just making sure the service is going well. In ministry, but also we're kind of keeping an eye on the teens or the children, right? And even in the teens, if They want to get up and go use the restroom. They kind of got to make you aware because you don't know. We don't want them just walking off, right? But now I get to serve in young adults. And people kind of, just like you guys can go as you please. You could get up right now if you wanted to. You'd be rude. The ushers wouldn't like it. But you technically could, right? Like, you don't need permission, right? And so when we think, like, God's permission to live, do I need, like, you don't need permission. You don't have to check in to take a breath. But what I believe the Holy Spirit speaking to us tonight is that many of us believers find ourselves in this paralyzed position, and it's like, give me permission to do something. Why? We recognized our past. And the thing is, we get caught looking back at our past, whether we're glorifying it, like, oh, the good old days, I wish when I could, I would do this, or we're just in shame or in guilt about our past, and we're not spending enough time looking forward. So it's like, hey, God's saying, I want to give you permission to be able to move forward and live. And we see that precedent here in his word, that Paul is saying, I'm pressing forward. So if you're in this place tonight and you find yourself stuck between how do I do this? I'm grappling with what I believe God is saying and what my past life is doing. And, you know, I'm a Christian now and I want to make sure I do things the right way. And you get at that thing that we've talked about several times, right? This analysis paralysis. Right, where you're overanalyzing and overthinking everything to the point where you're staying stuck. You know, they say I should join a ministry, but I don't know which ministry I should join. Should it be youth? Should it be children? I feel called over here, but called over here. Meanwhile, the year went by, and you didn't. I turned in an application, but when they asked me, I know I get an application like, "Hey, what ministry do you want to serve in?" "Ooh, I don't know. Like, what do you think?" "I don't know you, my brother. Like, what is it? Where do you feel like?" "Well, I just don't know." And again, the heart is we don't want to do anything wrong. We're taking it serious. We're pursuing Jesus. We want to do it the right way. But yet we get so paralyzed. Tonight, here is your permission to live. Here is your permission to make a decision. Here is your permission to be in faith and follow Jesus. And that permission comes from God. So in Romans chapter 6. Verse number 16, 17, and 18. We're going to read out of the NLT. "Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves in sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Verse 18, now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living." But wait, I thought we were free. I'm a slave to righteous living. So Paul is talking here to Romans, to the church in here in Romans, to the Jews in the Roman Empire, who understand this context of slavery. They understand that when you're a slave, you can only have a master, and you're subject to whatever that master says. So when he's talking to them and says, you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to something else. And it can only be one. So if you're going to be a slave to sin, then you're in bondage. But if you're a slave to Jesus, which means he is your master, then you're actually free. He's using the context of slave here as now you follow him. And righteous living is who your master is. Jesus is our master. So anybody born again in this by the Spirit of God tonight, know that we are living righteously because God has made us righteous. We are no longer slaves. We're no longer bound to our sin, to our past. They've been washed away. But I still struggle in this area. They've been washed away. Repent. Move forward. Let's not look back and allow God to let us live freely. But yet we want to hold on. See, because I thought you said we were free in Christ. No, that Jesus is our master. So we submit ourselves to him, and he removes the change. He removes the bondage that we feel or experience in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." That's a whole word for somebody tonight. Don't be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Tonight, We're talking from the topic of living in Christ means that there is freedom. Living in Christ means that there is freedom. We don't have to go back to our old ways, the sins that we've been freed from, the lifestyle, the thoughts that you know in your spirit are not the way you should be doing. See, because people have a challenge with Christianity because they see it as a list of rules and regulations and things that you can't do. When really, once you've been saved for a while, you realize that you're more free than you've ever been. Right? Because you realize sin was controlling you. What do you think addiction is? It controls you. What do you think perversions do? They control you. What do you think bad thoughts do? They control you. They're the ones keeping you up at night. You're not keeping your challenges up. They're controlling you. You're in bondage to those sins. Yet when we decide to follow Jesus, those chains fall off and we become free. So don't tell me, oh, you used to be cooler. It was better. You used to have more fun. No, you say this was more fun, but the hangover the next day, really? Having to pull over to vomit? No, come on now. There's nothing luxurious about these things. Who's the free one? And so Jesus is inviting us into this life of freedom. See, so what happens sometimes, and an example we might find this is in people in prison. And I'm not going to, I know San Bernardino, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've been to jail or prison, even including some people in the front row. Because God is good like that, and this is San Bernardino. I'm not looking at anybody. All right, I'll turn my head. But the thing is, oftentimes, there's studies that show that it's oftentimes people have challenges once they're released from jail or prison. Why? Because in prison, there's structure. There's set times when you wake up, exactly what you do, where you go. These are the routines. They're set for you. They're established for you. You are incarcerated. You are part of the system. They control your day. But then you get on the outside, and all of a sudden, you're free, but you don't know what to do with that freedom. I was so used to this being told to me. My breakfast was made for me. I came here. This is what I did. This was my day. But yet there's this freedom, and now they don't know what to do. In the same way, there's that muscle memory. Us as free believers, guess what? You're not in prison anymore to those sins. You're not in bondage, but yes, it's almost become our pet sin because it's familiar. It kind of becomes muscle memory. So then we get on the other side of this freedom with Jesus, but yet it's almost like, well, I was used to it. And so what we do is we exchange the chains and the bondage of sin, and we put on religion. We put on self-righteousness. We put on do-goodism. And we walk around just out of that muscle memory like, oh, I got to put something on. Because I can't, I need some rules. I need some structure. And the challenge with that is this verse right here. The problem, in other words, the problem with our religion, the problem with structure, the rules of life, or the law, as the Bible would tell us, is this verse right here. Remember, we read Galatians verse 1. Now we got to go on in verse 2. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value at all. What? Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. What is he saying? If you take the chains and the bondage of sin, and now put on the law, put on religion, put on your self-righteousness, then what Jesus did is of no good, because now you're going back to the law. You're going back to a structure, and you're putting your faith in the law. So you better just obey the whole law. You got to do it all now, because you're putting that back on, versus the freedom that Christ gives us. You are making a decision by your self-righteousness. You are making a decision with your religiosity. I'm telling you, man, Christmas, you would think it's just like all the rage. It's like all the religious people just cucarachas coming out of everywhere. Like, what's going on? Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, a holiday? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Put up a tree? What are you going to do? Are you going to put up a tree? I saw a clip on social media. It's like, this guy was just like, I can't, there you are taking a pic. How dare you take a picture in front of that tree? You might as well be taking a picture next to the devil. And I mean, I'm, man, just like going in, and everyone's like, yeah, all the religious, yeah. And I'm not trying to tease, but what I'm saying is that it makes our flesh feel good. Just like sin did, self-righteousness does that too. Come on, we'll go on this side. There must be some self-righteous people over here. No, come on, just kidding, guys. Come on. It feels good because I followed that rule. I didn't go to the movies. My parents are here. They talked about. I thought I had it rough as a 90s Christian kid. But they weren't allowed to go to the movies. You know, I used to have to sneak to the car to listen to 99.1 KGGI, right? It was like, oof. And, you know, you forget to set the settings back. You think you're all bad, right? Go to the car. Then the parents come back to the car. Like, who was listening to the radio? Everyone pointing at their sibling. Cause like, right? But religion puts us in the same bondage. So whether you find yourself in bondage to sin or in bondage to religion rules, what God is inviting us to is freedom. The invitation is to freedom, to living a life that chooses to follow Jesus out of a genuine love, out of a genuine worship and gratitude. Amen? That's the invitation. But again, so God releases from that muscle memory of like, man, I'm just used to these chains. It has to be something. Right? Or the idea of those prisoners that just like, well, I just need some kind of structure. I need some kind of rule. And I'm not saying routines or disciplines or habits are wrong things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's religious. Don't at me. Don't send the email. Well, teresa.aguilar@rockchurch.com. You let her know and she'll put it in my inbox, forward it over. Oh, shoot, I gave you a real email. My bad. Anyways, our religion doesn't bring us closer to God. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Do it all to the glory of God. There is permission to live. A lot of this comes from the idea, you know, you get saved and you want to do the will of God. And then you just get paralyzed with thinking everything we get afraid to make a decision in life. What's our profession going to be? I really love Jesus, so I must have to be a pastor. Like, what? So it's only the fivefold options. The only, you know, like immigrant families, oftentimes the jest is that, you know, you're allowed to do this. You can be a doctor or a lawyer or this or, right? It's like, well, if you love Jesus, it's a fivefold. That's all you can be. Right? No. What do you feel like God is calling you to do? What is it that, what's your natural bend? You love children? You want to be a teacher? You love medicine, you want to pursue being a doctor. All that you do, do it unto the glory of God. In all that you do, do it unto the glory of God. And again, it would be there is freedom in that instead of, you know, and I understand the will of God. Find the will of God for your life. Fast, pray. Don't just be, you know, flippant about every single decision in your life. But don't be on the other side of that just so frozen. Working with young adults, you find this so much. I want to go to school. I don't know my major. I don't know my career. I just feel like I have to ask myself, for my own self, like, is God pleased with this? Does this please God that I would be so, like, anxious? Wait, God doesn't call me to be anxious at all. There's freedom. Come on, if I can speak to somebody tonight, the Holy Spirit, there's freedom for you tonight. Find that freedom and live in it. Amen. Second thing tonight, living in Christ means this. Living in Christ means wholeness. Come on. There is wholeness. We get to come to God in shambles, in heartache. For me, it was heartache coming back to God. For you, it might have been a come to Jesus moment with you were at your wit's end, you were at rock bottom, whatever your story might have been. Either way, we're broken. I know people maybe struggle sometimes with, they don't feel like their testimony is, sounds as great as other people's, right? We're comparison's just going to rob us, guys. Can we get that? Comparison's just going to rob you of any joy that you have, any gratitude. You were grateful until you heard Pastor Brian's testimony. You were grateful until you heard, you know, such and such's testimony. Like, oh, man, God just delivered them. Like, God didn't deliver us? Like, God didn't deliver you? Comparison's just going to steal all that. That's a freebie. That's not in the notes. But know this. Know this. God wants to make us whole. We don't have to walk around as zombies, half dead, half alive, broken in shambles, broke, busted, and disgusted, Pastor Jim used to say. I'm tired of people who are just sick and tired all the time. But yet in our region, in our city, in San Bernardino, we can let the outside kind of creep into our spirit. Right? People just, oh, how you doing? Oh, I'm all right, just getting along. No, God is called to make us whole. And if you find yourself feeling that way, like, hey, stir yourselves up, shake yourself up, because that's not God's will for you. That's not God's plan for your life. God didn't come to make you all right. God came to make you whole. Amen? God came to give you life and what? Life more abundantly. Wholeness. Colossians chapter 2. I love this. Colossians chapter 2. Everybody all right? Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9. For in Christ lives all, somebody say all fullness of God in a human body. So you also, somebody say me also, are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Come on now, sometimes we give the devil too much credit. Sometimes we walk around like the devil, can, oh, he just stole my joy. Who has the authority? God is the ruler of all authority. And he is saying, you're in union with me. Hey, he's with me. Come on, we're over here. You can say in your little pity party section, we're going to be over here where the fun is at. All right? But yeah, we were like, no. God said, hey, you got to say, over here with me. Because you're in union, you're with me. Yeah, we think like, oh, did I get in? I'm not cool. I didn't come from the right. Where's the barely saved section? That's where I'm at. No, you are fully saved. Come on, you are fully baptized, fully made anew. Amen? Wholeness. Because Christ has given that to us. We are the fullness of God. So I love that you are also complete through our union. By unifying ourselves with Jesus, we are made complete. It's not a halfway deal. It's not a mostly deal. It's not a depending on your resume situation here. You are all the way saved once you're saved. There's no dipping your toe in. It's either in or out. Amen? Come on, that's another whole word. Come on, Jesus is dropping some dimes over here. That's a whole word for somebody. You are fully saved and made whole by our union with Christ. Let us be unified and whole in Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 17. You have all that you need to live in Christ Jesus. You know that? Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says this: For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We are the offspring of Christ, and in him, in Jesus, we live and move and have our being. There is nothing incomplete about you when you're living with Jesus. Now, you can look in the mirror and, you know, there's areas that you're going to sharpen, some disciplines and habits that you're getting rid of. I get it. Let's do that. Let's put our focus together. But you are made whole. You are made complete. And the devil would like to tell you otherwise, wouldn't he? But we need to remind ourselves of that Colossians verse, that we are in union with him, and he's the one who has the authority. Under which authority can you think that you're whole? Oh, God, our maker. Because that's what, why you think you're all bad? Why you think that someone would forget what you did? I know what you did. Oh, no. God, and he's the one who's the boss, he said, I'm good. Amen? I'm with him, and he said, I'm good. Your debts have been paid. Oh, no, you can't come in here. You owe too much. Oh, no, my debts are clear. Come on, can I hear from somebody whose debts are clear in the house of God tonight? Oh, come on, the Bible says, to whom who's been forgiven much, come on, there's some appreciation. I don't know, but I've been forgiven from a whole lot, and I'm appreciative, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful. I could dance. I could get excited because I know that God has forgiven me from a whole bunch, and he paid for it. Oh, I don't know. Are we excited enough in God's house tonight? I want to read this story. There was a young woman who loved collecting pottery. She enjoyed the unique beauty of each piece. Some were smooth, some were flawless, others were great condition, and some not so much. One day she came across this beautiful, intricate vase at an antique shop. She admired the delicate design and rich colors, but when she picked it up, it slipped from her hands and shattered on the floor. Heartbroken, she sat amongst the broken pieces, unsure of what to do. The vase, once perfect, now lay in pieces, its beauty marred and purpose lost. The shopkeeper, seeing her distress, gently said, "I know someone who can restore this for you." Intrigued, she agreed to let the vase go to the craftsman. The potter, an elderly man with wise hands, examined the broken vase, I don't know what he say, potato, potato. Instead of discarding the pieces, he began the careful work of gluing each fragment back into place. As he worked, he didn't hide the cracks, but embraced them as part of the vase's story. In the end, the vase wasn't just restored, it was transformed into something even more beautiful. The cracks, now filled with gold, told a new story. It wasn't just a vase anymore. It was a masterpiece, a symbol of healing and redemption. Come on, the Bible says that he is the potter. We are the clay. You know, sometimes we want to forget our past and act like we erased it, yet God uses our past, uses our story to not only heal us, to remind us of what we've been through, but also to heal somebody else. So when we hear a testimony, when we hear a story, when we hear how God has done amazing things in other people's lives, we recognize that we have a God. And I love this idea of the picture that the cracks are beautified with this, filled with gold. And what once say you're shattered is actually making it stronger than ever, purer than ever. So we don't have to act ashamed of our past, but rather use it as a reminder of how faithful God has been. Of the addictions that once tore us down, we get to say, God's goodness brought me up from all of that. And maybe you feel like your vase is cracked beyond measure. It's not in pieces, pastors, it's powder. It got smashed. God is a good and faithful God. And he is the potter. He's able to mold and fix and do something that we could have never imagined. Can I get a witness from somebody who God's been faithful to tonight? Come on, can I get an amen from somebody who know God has delivered them from a whole bunch? Can we get excited because God has been so good to us for so long? He's been so faithful. And every time that we think, oh, I think it's run out, God surprises us again once more. Amen? Hey, wrapping up, guys, wrapping up. Last thing tonight. Living in Christ means prosperity.
He just said prosperity in church. I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
I don't care if he thinks it rude. I am out, and I am making stomps on the way out. See, people got up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing with you, brother. You're good. No, the reason I get excited is in prosperity. This is a good thing. Prosperity is a good thing. Amen. It's not a church cuss word. This is how we know. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. I thought you said that we were free from the law. We are free from the law, but listen to God's plan. Because God didn't come to demolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And in fulfilling the law, what we can see here in this promise in Joshua is that when we walk according to God's word, really the main takeaway for us is God has no problem with us being prosperous. God has no problem with us finding success. In fact, he's saying, hey, if you do my will, you will find good success. You will live a prosperous life. That's my desire for you. That is my will for you that you would have. Why would I want you to serve me? I'm not going to, it's just going to be all like, oh, like, no, I have success as part of my plan for you. I have prosperity as part of my plan for you. But yet the problem is we hear prosperity and we think through the lens of all the perversions that people have made it. Prosperity is not just wealth. Prosperity is not just a collection of things. Prosperity is not just elitism. There are many different forms of prosperity that we see in Scripture and that we see in our own lives. Come on, some of you just had Christmas. Can't think about your Christmas dinner. And tell me, as you looked around the table, for some of you, you realize how prosperous you are in your relationships because of the love that you felt. I know that might not be for everybody. That was an area of prosperity for you, though. You sensed the wealth in the room like, oh, man, I don't know, but I felt like a very rich man as I looked around and saw generations, as I saw family that loves one another. Or maybe it, not just in your relationships or in your family, but you've seen prosperity in the way that you've been able to talk to people and your neighbors or these other connections that you have. You've been able to master a craft or your skill that you've learned really well and you've gotten good at it. You're a great teacher, you're a great nurse, and people have come to you asking questions. There's prosperity and success in that area of life. God is not just bringing you freedom. He's not just bringing you wholeness. There's going to be prosperity when we live in Christ. I don't know about you, but I just want more of what God has for me. Again, not for stacking up things, because God says that he wants to give us. He wants to give us these success. But I want to hide. I want to put his word in me. I want to learn his will. I want to learn his way so that I can walk it out. Because I can tell you, for some of you, if you had $1 million, it would be a great thing. But for others, if you had $1 million, it'd be a bad thing. Can you be honest with yourself? For some of you, if you had a Ferrari, it'd be a good thing. For others, you'd go too fast and you would end up hurting yourself or maybe somebody else. You get what I'm saying here? God wants to pour out his prosperity and success on our lives as we are following and connected and living in Christ. Did he just promise prosperity to me? I'm saying God's will is that we would find prosperity in our lives. And I'm giving you the ways of prosperity that we can see. There's spiritual prosperity. Yes, there is financial. Yes, there's prosperity in your inner peace. Hello. Talking about people, you know people that struggle with sleeping? You know the people that struggle with anxiety? Have you known people that are at peace? Their soul is prosperous. They're able to find rest and peace of mind and knowing. Emily, so for some of them, that comes because they don't have millions in the bank. You'll talk to some people that have a lot of outside wealth, but it's not making their soul very prosperous at all. So we have to get our mind frame right about what true prosperity is. The trap is to think that prosperity is material. Because we know material goes and comes, but a peace that surpasses understanding is from the Lord. Amen? Lastly, I love this one, the eternal prosperity. You could keep all that other stuff, but my eternity is prosperous because I'm spending my eternal life with Jesus Christ. The Lord wants to prosper you. Last verse tonight as we close out. John 10:10. I alluded to this one earlier. But talk about God's will for your life. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. This is Jesus saying, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That they may have life and life more abundantly in this life and the next. In this life and the next. Jesus didn't come to rob us, to punish us, to give us a bunch of rules that we had to follow that we don't even really want to follow. But he's come to give us life. He's come to give us, and that life means that freedom. That life operates in wholeness, and that life is in prosperity. Come on, if you got some from the Word of God tonight, let's give him a shout of praise. I wanted to do one thing quickly as just a response to God's Word tonight. Can we all stand? We're going to just kind of do a moment of singing and worship. Maybe just gratitude. Maybe just sing a portion of that gratitude song. Just as a response to his word, to what he's done, to what the Holy Spirit spoke to your life tonight. Can we be thankful tonight? Can we worship him in song?
So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We are grateful for your word. Our hearts are appreciative, Lord God, and we are just delighted by all that you are doing. Holy Spirit, let your word not just go in one ear, not the other, but just confirm in our hearts and our lives what it is that you are doing and saying. May we operate and walk in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Joel. Pastor Joel.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. God's permission to live. What a great, 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 great word. Hey, check out this video of what you did. Pastor Brian dug a well, and look at what he did. Just kidding. It's actually prophetic. We believe that there's a well of salvation here at the Rock. That well was dormant, there's a little bit of history, for a good number of years. We decided, because God is calling us to higher places, to redig that well, and look at what came out of it. Check out the screens.
Hey Rock family, Pastor Brian here, and I am so excited because right behind me is our brand new well. You know, we've been believing God for this for a very long time, and we're so excited that we're able to tap in the resources God put right under us so that we can get some free water and sow back in to the kingdom of God. You know, it didn't come without a fight, but we believed God, we prayed, and as we fought through that rocky ground, we came into all the water that God had promised us. We thank you, Rock family, for all that you've done, all that you've sacrificed, and all that you've given so that we can build this well and again, put money back into building the kingdom of God. And so thank you again, Rock family, for all that you do. We love you.
Awesome. Awesome. And all that comes because of your tithes and offerings and donations to the Rock. We believe the seed that's sown here is good ground. How many are ready to sow more seed tonight? Yes. Yes, yes. Behind me are many, many ways to give. I personally like the app because it's easy. You could download it, and you could use it anywhere you're at any time. It's secure. But what I want to challenge you with today is not let it be an offering, because we believe that money can be spiritual, like prosperity Pastor Antonio was teaching. It's a spiritual act of obedience. When you act in obedience, even with your resources and everything God gives you, he somehow supernaturally provides every way possible to get you blessed. But you can't be blessed if you're not sowing seed. So it's a principle that's biblical, and it's a principle that honors God. And if you want to sow seed tonight and you have a physical offering, one of the ushers is standing around, and raise your hand and they'll get you an envelope. If you have a physical offering like cash or you want to write out credit card information, it's there for you. Otherwise, text to give, app, many, many ways to give. But if you are a business owner or you're in charge of resources and business, there's take advantage of year-end tax-deductible donation to the ROC. Why? That the IRS provides a benefit to business owners and personal investments into nonprofits, which we are. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. That means you get a tax deduction receipt at the end of the year. So if you're considering year end, please sow that seed today and God will richly bless you. I'm going to pray for the offering as we get ready to support the kingdom of God. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that all the gifts from heaven around us, above us, and even in us are from you. You give us, the Bible says, the ability to get wealth through our jobs, resources, investments that we make, because you give us the power to prosper and a diligent to work and provide food and seed to the sower. Thank you, Lord, for blessing every giver all this weekend. Thank you, Father, for sowing seed that can produce a well, a spring of water, or produce outreaches, or produce love bags, supporting all the missionaries that we support all over the world, because love is an action and obedience through our faith and our resources. Father, we don't give to get. You own a cattle of 1,000 hills, and I think and I believe, Father God, that you are the premium source of all blessing. And as we consider to sow seed, that blessing would come tenfold to those that sow tonight. We bless the offering in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. I have a few announcements. You know, we have TRBC open registration going on right now. If you're considering to study the Bible in-depth Bible colleges for you, you please join us. I'm one of the faculty members, and we have such a great time opening up the Word of God. We take the time to share from the Scriptures, the time that we don't really have from the pulpit, because we have limited time and resource here at the pulpit. Not that we don't preach a great word. We do. Every time you come to the Rock, we crack that word open and you hear a divine revelation from the Holy Spirit. But this is set apart time, months on end, for you to understand the Bible. It's not about being a part or becoming a pastor or a missionary. Maybe God's called you to that. If it's just a part of being growing up in His Word and resources. Bible says He's the bread of life. We need to consume that bread. Bible College is a place for you. We have a free course called the Winter Intensive. Pastor Deborah is going to be teaching this course called, you know, Who is Jesus? Starts Thursday the 9th. It's a free course. It's a precursor to Bible College. You know, it's an exciting course. Pastor Deborah hasn't taught in a while, and she's ready. She's gearing up, and she wants to give you 2 consecutive Thursdays free. And Youth Auditorium QR code is how you join. Please be a part of this, because she can teach that Bible. And it's going to be rich. If you join by that intensive, you will be blessed. Also, next weekend, we have Apostle Mike Keys coming all the weekend services. I love Apostle Mike because he is so in your face. He is so raw. He's so good. And he's executing God's will, God's way through the Word of God. He will be here all next weekend. Brings your friends and family. And that evening, we will be having a healing service. If you have an ailment in your body, or you know, have a neighbor that's sick, bring them to that service next Sunday night. And we will have a healing service. And we believe The source of all healing is Jesus Christ, and we're going to cry heavens down, and we're going to have a prayer line, and you watch God work in supernatural ways. It's always a blessing to see how God manifests in healing and that we provide space and intention to do that. So that's next weekend. If you're considering going to one of our missions trips, Missions 2025 is upon us right up here. We're going to Mexico, Thailand, and Vietnam. If you want to be a part of the missions group, the QR code is away. I love going to missions outreach. I've done it a few times, and I always get blessed. I always see how God supernaturally shows up in a foreign land with sometimes see nothing but only God manifesting his goodness on people that need it the most. So please consider the missions trip. Also, we have Vision Weekend, and Pastor Dan and Pastor Jessica are calling us to a fast. They're not telling you and giving you the the rules and the conditions where you're going to do a Daniel fast or you're going to do a full water fast. That's going to be put on you. But we're fasting to make room for the Holy Spirit to prepare your heart this coming year, 2025. I believe 2025 is going to be our best year yet. So let's prepare our heart with a fast to consider what God wants to do in us. Check out the screens for our upcoming events and what God has for you next. God bless you.
My favorite part about this school is that I get to see my friends every day, and they've learned new things too, and I have too.
To see them on their own amongst their peers learning to grow and begin to develop a love for God and for his word and just for all the things that God would want us to do as Christians, it's just been something very tremendous, and I'm beyond blessed to be able to witness that in my own child.
Learn, grow, and thrive in a godly environment. The Rock Christian School is now enrolling K through 12th grade. Apply today at rockchristianschool.com.
Awesome. Hey, before we dismiss you all tonight for the last time in 2024, earlier I said 2029, right? It's going to be 20. Fast forwarded a few years, but 2024, and then it's going to 2025, right? We're not time warping. But before we leave, I just want to, again, give another opportunity. I know I did an invitation. Maybe I was a little bit bold and brash, but I want to make sure that no one leaves tonight with having had another opportunity to surrender their heart and life to Jesus. Because again, it's important that you understand that you don't get saved, that you're not a Christian because you attend church. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that by a church attendance. And it's important that we know that it's not our good works or lack of bad works, bad things that we don't do, that assures that we are Christian, in fact, headed for heaven. That's not what it takes. In fact, we can only do it by the way that God says, his word, his truth. And his word says that we have to do it his way, by making him our Lord and our Savior. In the book of John, real quick, chapter 3, I'll just paraphrase for you. There's a man by the name of Nicodemus. He's a religious leader. He checks all the boxes that you and I could think of in terms of, his good outweighed his bad. He did all the right religious rules. In fact, he followed the law to a T perfectly. He had to be able to consider the leader that he was. But yet he finds himself going to Jesus and asking, hey, how do I inherit the kingdom of heaven? Essentially, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus doesn't say, hey, man, you've checked all the boxes. You've done all the right things, like many of us in here might be doing. Oh, well, timing, right? All the different excuses or things that you think that you could concoct that would make you feel like your eternity is secure. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says that you must be born again. I'm assuming Nicodemus was shocked because he was doing everything he was supposed to do. But yet he finds himself in need of something, being born again. Now, with being born again, it's not something, it's not a work, it's not an action, it's not something we do, which is a little bit challenging for our minds. It wasn't a quid pro quo here. But that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the good news for you and I today, that Jesus died for your sins, for my sins. So the invitation tonight is pretty simple. Surrender your life, and in turn, God gives you a brand new one. So you've tried life your way. Think about it. Be real with yourself. It's brought you some trouble. It's brought you some hardship. Whereas with Jesus, you might find some challenges, but you're whole. You have peace. And your eternity is now secure. So the invitation to you tonight to consider. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. Hit my thigh just like that. When you hear that sound on the thigh, I want you to get your hand up. You are identifying by getting your hand up, that you too, like many of us once did, recognize that we're sinners in need of a Savior. By getting your hand up, that's not what gets you saved, but you're acknowledging with an outward expression. I know in this room, it's kind of embarrassing. I don't want to put myself out there. God put himself to be beaten and bloodied, naked on a cross. You could raise your hand in this room where people are praying for you right now. Excited for you to raise your hand. Again, examine your heart. You can't examine your neighbors. Pay attention right here just for one more moment. Examine your heart. Ask yourself, if you are a follower of Jesus and if you are headed for heaven, the opportunity is in front of you today. You're going to simply raise your hand and identify that. Here we go. One. Get ready to get your hand up. Two, if you're lukewarm, maybe you've done this before, you're doing life a little bit in, a little bit out, mostly my way, but sometimes God's way, you need to get your hand up. Three, let me see your hands today in this place. Raise your hand high so I can see. I see that hand, thank you. I see that hand, thank you very much. Anybody else? I didn't embarrass them, I won't embarrass you. Anybody else in this place? All right, let's give it up for those two wise people. Come on, let's get it. Hey, everybody stand up. If you raise your hand, I want to ask you to come forward. I know it's a bold step. I want to ask you to come forward. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our hearts. We're going to ask Jesus to be Lord of our life, and we're going to step into salvation. Amen. Come on, let's give them a round of applause of support as they come forward, as they make the best decision that they'll ever make. You just made the best decision you ever made, my brother. Amen, amen, amen. Wow. For those of you who raised your hand, and for those of you who came forward, and maybe those of you who didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have, I want you to pray this prayer with me. You guys pray this prayer, repeat these words. They're not magical words. It's not a magical prayer. But it's just putting some language to what you're already feeling. We're going to make a declaration about our life, okay? And we're going to make sure that we're following it up. So here we go. Let's pray. Say, Dear Jesus. Come on, everybody. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight as a sinner that needs a Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that you are that Savior. You came. You lived a perfect life and yet died on the cross for my sins. Your blood washed away my sins. You made me whole. I'm a new creation because of you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. I declare that from this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, fill me now with your Holy Spirit. In your name I pray. Amen. Come on, amen, amen, amen. Again, this is Pastor Joel. He's going to share some information with you. It's just some follow-up information. Nothing weird. He's just going to share with you because we believe that as glad as we are that you came forward, we know that you're saved. You have to know that. But we want to come around you and support you and get you in community and give you some next steps that we know are going to support you in your new walk with Jesus. Amen? So follow Pastor Joel. We're going to pray and dismiss. Yeah. Happy New Year, my brother. Happy New Year, everybody. Everybody good? We love you guys. From the Rock Church family, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, as we learned from Pastor Teresa. Merry Christmas. It's okay to say. Like, you look at people, I've said that before, like, they look at you weird, like Christmas passed. Anyways, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll see you Wednesday night, and we'll bring in the new year with you guys. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Jesus. These are your people called by your name. We ask that you bless them in their coming, bless them in their going, that you would keep them, guard them, guide them by your name, Lord God. Jesus, we say with a great big shout of faith about the Inland Empire, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.